gets difficult at times, and around the holidays too, and especially for Christians. So we here tonight would have different things to thank God for. And maybe one or two of you are having a hard time because life has been trying for you right now. But I want to speak tonight on a subject that all of us can be thankful for, no matter what position we're in life. Because sometimes we can forget the most precious gift, the most precious thing that God has given us that we should be thankful for. And that's our salvation. We can all do that, can't we? You see, you're here tonight, and you're blessing the Lord. You know, without salvation, we wouldn't be here. We'd have nothing of real value. You know, Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul?" And, you know, the longer you live life, the more you can say amen. What would it profit? Nothing. No profit once they die, and an eternity in the lake of fire. Now, I'm going to use Paul the Apostle as an example tonight to remind and encourage us and excite us about our salvation, the thing that we should be thankful for. First of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 1:15, Paul said, 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He knew that's why Jesus came. He came to save sinners. He also knew that Jesus put him in the ministry and uses him. 1 Timothy 1:12. He thanks Jesus Christ who put him into the ministry. And Paul knew that without salvation, life would be miserable. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians first of all. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Paul writes here, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." That word means miserable. You know, if our only hope was in this life, I'm making it here, he says we Christians would be of all men the most pitiable, the most miserable. Our hope isn't in this life. He knew that. Our hope is in Jesus. You see, if our hope was only in this world and we were thankful for all the things that we have in this world tonight, and we can be, but we would be most miserable if that were it. We would be no different than the unbeliever that's thanking him for all these different things. But we do have salvation, so we're much better off than the world. Did you ever look at somebody else and think they had it better than you? Well, if they're not going to heaven, they don't. See, Paul preached salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And he was persecuted for it, but he didn't quit. Neither should we, no matter what life is like here. You know, there are people today who are saying, "Yeah, I don't like the holidays coming." You know, Christians all over this world probably thinking that way today because life has been so hard for them. But we need to keep our focus on what we really do have. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. That's what our message is going to be from today, 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5. We need to be encouraged, not by man or a holiday, but by the word of the Lord, to be really thankful. Paul speaks of his life in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 5. He says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." We have this power to share this thankful gift we have. And he goes on in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side. Do you feel hard pressed today? We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. That's good. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Do you ever get perplexed in this world? Wonder how, why things are like they are, or why or how? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're going to make it, Christian, no matter what we're going through. We're going to make it. And then he goes on, why he does what he does. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He's saying we get persecuted and mocked and made fun of for being, you know, a Christian, but we preach because Jesus, people need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about the salvation we have. We go on through all these terrible times we go through. We go on. Why? Because people need to hear about Jesus. Verse 14. Or verse 13. And since, or verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We're going to go on preaching. People need Jesus. Verse 4, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Isn't that awesome? He preaches. People listen and are saved, and we're being saved till today. Here we are, 2,000 years later. And one day, we're all going to be presented to the Lord, the church. What a glory to God. That's why he does it. That's why we preached, so that we'll all be presented to the Lord one day. That is a gift to God. He's going to say, wow, the bride. You're part of it. You're part of this blessing to the Lord. And Paul states in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We go through what we do for sharing the gospel, and it's for your benefit, and many have received Jesus Christ. What he's saying, so that means there are many to thank him for his grace and kindness. The fact that he preaches and people come to the Lord, and we preach and people come to the Lord, what it means is there's going to be many that are going to thank Jesus, thank God for his kindness and grace. So we're building up people to thank God. So we should be thanking him. He says that's the whole purpose of all of this, so that we build up this huge group of people that are going to bring thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is going to abound to the glory of God. We're the glory for him. Isn't that awesome? It is good to thank God, because that's the reason we share, so that other people thank God for their salvation. But we must not forget to thank God for his grace and salvation. Therefore, Paul writes, this is for us also, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. As difficult as it is, don't ever give up. There is sickness, there are trials, we get old, the body starts to perish, physically goes downhill. Yet, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There's all these things, and the outward man is perishing because of all these things. And we get old. You're one day older today than you ever were before. The day's never going to come where you get younger. No matter what you go through to try and do that. But we get older. But the inward man, you know, we can feel old. We can feel not as well as before, physically not the same. But the inward man, the new creation, is being renewed day by day. Or it should be. In the Word of God, praying, growing in the inward man, the spiritual being, we should be renewing it day by day. We eat every day. We should feast on the Word of God every day. Spend time with God every day. You know, there's an old song that says, if you're young at heart, I don't know if any of you remember that song. It says, if you're young at heart. See, what he's saying is our body's growing older, but inwardly we are young at heart. And we thank God that we're going to be forever young one day. We're never going to get old. We're going to last for eternity. Thank God for our salvation. The thing is, we need to focus on that and not the flesh. That's what gets us down. We can take our Christianity and what we have for granted, our salvation. We can thank God for a lot of things, but forget salvation. There's nothing more important than salvation, because all these other things are going to fail. They're going to end. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. When you read that, you say, light affliction for a moment? Whoa. Consider, and he says, consider what we go through. This light affliction is but for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This light affliction, boy, it doesn't seem light, does it, at times? But for a moment, boy, it's been a long while, you may say. It seems long. But when you relate it to eternity, it's light and it's short. It's where our head is at. It's what we're thanking God for. Thank Him for the new life, the new creation, heaven, salvation. And He can say it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, because Paul lived the way Jesus told him to, one day at a time. It's only today. I read this week. It's pretty good. Yard by yard, life is hard. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Lead it inch by inch. It's harder yard by yard, but inch by inch, it's a cinch. Day by day. Great blessings await us, one day at a time. God is working in us. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, don't look at these things which we see, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at eternity and what we have, our salvation. Now, what we see will end. What we don't see will never end. Heaven, God, all the things we have. We thank God for our salvation and our future life. Then we go right into chapter 5. And he encourages them in this. For we know that if our earthly house, and he's talking about the body, the physical body. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, you know, it's just a covering for us. If it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What he's telling them now is, this body is going to decay. So don't get discouraged. You know, God gives us a new body, and it's not of this creation. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's God's work, not a body of this creation. We're all going to look amazing. Because God does good work. We're all going to look amazing, and there's no cosmetics needed. Think on those things. Thank God you have this because of your salvation. I have this because of my salvation. For in this we groan earnestly to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Did you groan this morning? Yeah. We groan. We probably say, oh, man, I can't wait for that new body. We groan in this body. We all want that new me, the new body. It's coming because of our salvation. See, we thank God for our salvation because it means so much. There's so much in our new salvation. Wouldn't it be nice not to have to need insurance because you'll never get sick? Never get old? Never grown? The new me, the new body. I wonder what it looks like. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, we're not going to be disembodied once we die. And some people think that. We shall not be naked. We're going to be clothed. Verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, we do, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. You know, we don't wake up and say, oh, I want to die. I just want to get out of his body today. But he's revealing his feelings. We who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Hey, we're burdened. But it's not because we want to be unclothed or just become nothingness, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. It's because we want that new body. We want to get rid of the old and put on the new. Mortality is going to end, but we face it now. We're mortal. Everyone will go in the rapture or die. Everyone. Or be here when the tribulation period comes. But we groan because we want to put on this immortality. Doesn't that sound good? We're going to be immortal? Never change? Never age a day? Just go on forever? We will have eternal bodies. We're never going to die. Now, he who has prepared this for us, for this very thing, is God. God is doing this for us. All because of our salvation. We're getting immortality. You know, it's just in the future. We don't see it, but it's real. We focus so much on this. But what we can really focus on is the eternal in our salvation, because that's just still future, so much of it. And so we groan, but we're going to face immortality. God has prepared this very thing. How do we know this is true? Because in verse 5, he has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. He's our guarantee, our down payment. You put a down payment on a house, on a car, it's yours. What's our down payment that I'm going to have all of this and I'm going to heaven? The Holy Spirit. We have to trust the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He testifies to us that all these things are real. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because if a person isn't, they don't have that Holy Spirit. And they can question these things. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you're guaranteed. If you walk up to me tonight and say, where are you going when you die? I'm going to say heaven. Because I know it. I'm guaranteed it. People that aren't born again, don't have that guarantee. God has prepared us for this, and we thank God. Therefore, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You see, we know, we're confident. While we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. That's for sure. We have to live out. See, the order God chose to do is live here first, then go to be with him. This has to disappear, then we go to be with him. That's what he's telling us. We know this. While we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We can worship him, but we're confident, it says. We're not fearful, worrying, or doubting. You know, we don't let things affect us. Great things await us, but we're still in the body. But they're a reality. We're absent from the Lord. So, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we're in trouble. We're to walk by faith. We have to know that we have these things and they're real. And because of our salvation, we're immortal. Live in eternity in a new body in the presence of the Lord. And so Paul states in verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So this is also a verse that speaks to people about what happens to us once we die. When we're absent from this body, we move to be with the Lord. We get our new bodies. We're in the Spirit. We get our new bodies at the rapture when all the saints are gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. And we are forever with the Lord in heaven. Now, people don't believe that. They think there's nothingness. They don't know if God exists. But we know. We're confident, he says. And we're well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's where we have to check ourselves out. Are we? Do we have our plans here? And we thank God for all the things he's given us here. And we have a great walk with the Lord because he's blessed us. Or is it just because we love him just because he's God? And we want to be with him. And we know this is true. We enjoy his blessings here. We thank him for his blessings here. All good things come from God. We have much to thank him for. But the greatest thing is for salvation. And we should be well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Doesn't mean we, hey, Lord, I want to go today. That'd be okay. But we wake up and we follow the Lord excited about what we have. So that no matter what comes across our path, we're still excited about the Lord. And that's what he ends with here, verse 9. Therefore, since all these things are true, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, whether we're here or there, we make it our aim to what? To be well-pleasing to him. Whatever is going on in our life, we determine to be well-pleasing to him. And of course, we'd rather be there. But while we're here, whether we're here or there, what do we really want? To be well-pleasing to him. You see, God saved us by sending his son to die on a cross for us. That was a big thing. We should make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. Let's end with this. Let's turn to Psalm 95. And then we'll have a time of prayer. And if you want to thank the Lord, you'll have your chance to thank him for whatever in your life. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. And we're going to do that right after I finish and before we pray. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Focus on the Lord this time of the year. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. That should bring joy in our heart, thinking about our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And many of the songs are psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, said it is a people who goes astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But we are called to come and worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you that we are your sheep and that you know us and we know you. We thank you, Lord, for eternity. It is waiting us. And Lord, we look toward that day when we will be with you in a new body, in an eternal state. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, but joy forevermore. But while we're here, we pray that we would be well-pleasing to you. You have been good to us. We pray, Lord, that we would bless you tonight, and that you are blessed. And thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done for us. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.